This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for being with us today. It is that day we call Your Money Matters, brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage. As I always say, your one-stop shop for all of your mortgage needs, and their number is 720-895-0500. And normally we have different guests on, but every once in a while, Kurt decides to do his own show. So, Kurt, we'll talk mortgages today. How are you?
Yes, we will talk mortgages today. First thing we'll talk about is it's above zero.
Man, I've never thought I'd say I'm glad I'm not in Texas for the weather.
That's right.
It is.
Or Louisiana.
Freezing down there. Kansas, everybody. I mean, just unreal.
But then again, here we go. We got Colorado.
I know.
You look at those mountains and you go, this is why people want to live here. It's just gorgeous.
It is.
It's beautiful weather.
It absolutely is. So get out and enjoy it. It is a beautiful, beautiful day. All right, let's talk mortgages a little bit. Man, I tell you, first of all, Kurt, quite interesting times we're living in and just every aspect of our life. Isn't it?
It's challenging you in areas you didn't think you could be challenged in. I mean, every time you turn around, it's like, they didn't really say that, did they? They're really going to do that? Mm-hmm. That makes no sense. It's one thing after another after another. And you're like, okay, I'll just keep my mouth shut and just keep moving along.
All right. So let's talk, I guess the first thing everybody always wants to get with you on is rates.
Right.
What causes rates? Let's say this, you know, or you'll hear ads all over and people will say, you know, it's this rate, and sometimes they're different. Why is it kind of range different from borrower to borrower?
There's one common thread that determines the rate, whether it's a single-family home. The rate is determined if the property type is the same. Let's say there's two people going out to apply for a mortgage. And if they're on the same piece of property, how could they each have a different rate? And there's one thing that always comes into play, and that's called your FICO score. It's called a Fair Isaac score. And it's three different bureau companies that come together, and they each have their own scoring system, and they'll come up with a number, and the lenders will normally take the mid number. Is it foolproof? No. It is the basis of what's done. Now, a lot of people say they don't want to give out their information to get a credit score because they think it affects their credit. Yes, when your credit is obtained, your score will take a hit, but it can take a hit from 1 point to 8 points. But what many people don't know when you're looking at your FICO score, if you're out shopping for mortgages and you have one or 10 people apply and do an inquiry in their bureau, it has one hit. It's not so many points per bureau, it's so many points per type of bureau. But the Fair Isaac score, the FICO score, is the determining factor to get started on your rate. There's a lot of other things that come into play, but that's the first thing that comes into play if you got two people in the same type home.
Right. You know, it's so aggravating, just talking about scores for a minute, with the way the credit bureau system is.
Yes.
Because there's three main bureaus, right?
Correct.
All right. And usually your scores will not be, I mean, I've seen some 100 points apart, you know, and yet still, if you take your highest one or lowest one, that's still not what you're seeing when you pull it. So that, I mean, what's the game there?
A lot of people ask that question. Well, I go over here and I see my score being this way. Well, I just bought a car and they said my score was this. There are three different types of bureaus depending on the algorithms of the person pulling the bureau. And the first one is credit cards. Credit cards are looking for certain things, and their algorithms are going to give more points for or against different areas. And I'm going to go over those in a second. The next one is installment loans. Could be a motorhome, could be a motorcycle, it could be a car loan. A student loan, those are installment loans. Again, they look at them differently. And then the third one is mortgages. So if you go out and you buy a car and you do a mortgage and you have a credit report run, they're going to come in with different scores. Now, how the three different bureaus come in with different scores is determined by the person who you've got debt with, who you've borrowed money from. Do they report to all three? Mm-hmm. Some of them do not. So if you've got a good account, and here's a great reason why you want to run a credit report on you and see who's not reporting to all three. And if you're really paying these people well on time and the amount of money you owe them is less, you want to pick up the phone and say, I need you to report to these folks because it will improve your score.
Okay.
Now, when you're looking at the credit report scores through the three bureaus, and I mentioned it a second ago about the credit cards. Credit cards have a 32 to 34% impact on your score. Paying on time is 40 to 45. But your credit card and how you manage your credit cards has a bigger impact than almost anything else. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about this many times on the show. You may have five cards for $500 a piece and owe $400 on all of them, and you're going to have a 620 credit score. It happened to a customer of mine. All they did was take $100 and put it on each one, took the balance from $200, took it from $400 to $200. They now, their percentages are lower. Their credit score went up 75 points. Most people say, if I'm paying my bills on time, why don't I have the high score? It's because of these systems that they have in place on how you manage the account. Having a card and not using it for a long period of time, it's a better idea to have the card, but every now and then put $100 on it, then pay it off.
Right.
Pay maybe $6 or $7 in interest on that credit card because it moves your score up drastically because it shows you know how to use credit wisely. And it doesn't matter if there's three zeros or five zeros behind that first number. Mm-hmm. It's all percentages. Whether it's $5,000 and you owe two, whether it's $50,000 and you owe 20, it's still the same.
Sure.
It doesn't count the zeros. It counts the percentage differences in it. So those are some of the main things that will affect it. Other things that affect your FICO score is the age of your credit cards. If every time you go out to a store and they offer you a credit card and you accept it, you're cutting the average age of your credit score down, the average mm-hmm. age of your cards, which affects your score. And while I understand why the merchants want to do that, you should only really have maybe 3 to 5 cards at best.
Right.
And they should be able to do everything. And I understand that they're going to give you a 10% discount, but if it drops your score.
Yeah, is that really worth it?
If it drops your score from a 724 to a 719, mm-hmm. that could cost you anywhere from $2,000 to $6,000 in a car loan or a mortgage loan. So that 10% really didn't pay off. Understand it's really nice to get now,
right.
but it's going to cost you over here.
Sure.
Because your average age, and it affects it. That affects it about 12 to 15%. And everything else is the miscellaneous, how many accounts you have, and the mix of accounts you have.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have, 13 credit cards, one installment loan, and one mortgage? That's kind of heavy to one side. That's a mix that can hurt you. So understanding your credit scores and what makes them work, you can actually have 5 counts and have an 800 credit score, or you can have 20 accounts and have an 800. It's how you manage those accounts.
Right. And you've said before, too, a lot of times you can call the credit card company and get them to raise your limit and get those percentages right. So that's why I always tell people it's never too early to call you and sit down with you, maybe first-time homebuyer, whatever. They're thinking about doing it. Call you, sit down, and maybe have some of these discussions now so when they are ready, they're ready, right?
It's actually pretty simple to it's pretty simple to do. If you're concerned about it, you can run your score and you can find out the differences. If you have a card that's got a $4,000 balance and you owe $2,500, the first thing I would recommend is, like you just said, pick up the phone, call them and ask them if they can raise you $1,000, and then you put down $500. Mm-hmm. And within 30 days, all of a sudden, your score is going to take a 20 to 40 point jump. Just because of, if you got 3 or 4 of those, you got to do it to all of them.
Sure.
But it can affect your score drastically. So those things, it's well worth paying attention to. I have had customers that have done that, and then they've gone out and charged up the difference. I said, you got to quit charging. Mm-hmm. You can't raise the limit and then keep charging. The goal is to keep you at a 40% of what your high is.
Right.
If you do that, you're going to manage that's managing your accounts, and that's where your score is better.
So folks that may be trying to qualify now, and let's say, they've gone through some rough times, they got these couple of these PPP loans and all that. I mean, how do banks look at that, let's say, like for a self-employed person that maybe got some?
They don't count the PPP as income.
Okay.
And that's affected a lot of self-employed people.
I bet.
Because you could get a PPP loan, which allows you, which the government says here it works. This allows you to pay your employees and keep your business going. But they won't count it as income. You still need to be able to prove you make the same kind of income. Now, let's say you make $80,000 a year. And all of a sudden, because of what happened last year, you make $60,000. Now, that's about a 25% reduction in income, and that's the max that they'll let you go. Even though you might have got $100,000 from the PPP, they're not going to count that.
Gotcha.
They're not going to count it as income. So there's this fine line. It's the same thing as forbearance. When you go into forbearance, they can't report that on your credit bureau that you have a late. So it's not going to affect your score. That's a benefit. But some people seem to think, well, if it's in forbearance, I can put it at the end and I'm fine. The lender's going, uh-uh. We let you not count it because you couldn't make it. We understand that scenario.
Right.
But you have to be current before we will look at you again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the government helped over here. You got to remember the lender's still looking at the chance that you may foreclose. And so they've written the guidelines to where that has to be cured.
Sure. And not to get off topic, but I know we're going to have Mike Hills on next week with us. But for the ones that are renting out and they're depending on that rent to come in, and maybe people haven't been able to pay that rent, and then not that anybody wants to evict somebody, but they can't, you know, get them out to try to find a new renter. Has that affected a lot?
It actually has affected. I have several customers that have rental properties. I have one guy who has 19 rental properties, and he's got four of them in forbearance. Because of that situation, you know, robbing Peter to pay Paul. Now, he's in a pretty good position because he's got 19 properties. If you've got one or two, that can be deadly.
Yeah.
That can hurt you bad. Now, can you put that property into forbearance? Yes. But you've only got maximum of 12 months to do that. After that, you got to start recouping. And if you then want to get a loan, you got to make it clean going in. So it still allows you to recoup from the problem that's being forced upon you in a lot faster period of time than what happened in 2008. When we had issues like this in 2008, they just turned you into foreclosure and then nobody would touch you for years.
Right.
So there's a positive to it, but you got to work your way through that issue.
Do you see, before a break here, do you see rates doing much here in 2021?
No. No, the federal government is continuing to throw $120 billion a month at the bond market, which allows mortgage rates to stay low. Doesn't matter what the feds do in the regards to the prime rate and the feds fund rate, but the amount of money they're throwing at the bond market is reassuring that they're going to keep doing it, so that those rates are going to stay low.
It's Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. This is Haystack Help Radio. The Outdoorsman's Attic is Colorado's very own outdoor gear consignment store. From live bait to goose decoys, from sleeping bags to Sitka gear, you'll find it all at the Outdoorsman's Attic. They offer a great selection of new and pre-owned hunting, fishing, and camping items, and you'll save 20 to 60% off retail. And if your firearm needs cleaning or some work, see Scott the gunsmith at the Outdoorsman's Attic. And if you've got some gear you want to turn into cash, head over to the Outdoorsman's Attic, located at 2650 West Hampton in Sheridan. Let them know you heard about them here on KLZ 560.
Can you believe how low rates are staying? Still in the twos. Back in the 40s and the 50s, rates were in the 5 to 6% range. How much longer are you going to wait? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Your home has never been worth more. Take AIM to get that lower rate or shorten your term. Lower your payment and pay thousands less in interest. It's your money. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Locally owned and family operated since 2001. Are you ready for the future financially? Many of our clients have the ability to access their equity for 30 years without raising their payments now. This prepares them for those speed bumps of life. Ask how you can become mortgage safe too. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where our reputation of putting you first and listening to you is unmatched in Colorado. Call 720-895-0500 now so you can focus on what's important, family. Regulated by DOR, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Check out the winter car package at D&D Tire. For just $44.99, you will get a lube, oil, and filter,
Your fluids will be topped off and your vehicle will receive a complete visual inspection. D&D Tire Winter Car Package also includes a tire check. They'll check your tread depth and air pressure and rotate your tires and inspect all belts and hoses. It's the Winter Car Package, only available at D&D Tire. Three locations to serve you, one in Parker and two in Aurora. Family owned and operated. That's D&D Tire.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio and Your Money Matters. My name is Scott Watley, here with Kurt Rogers, owner of Affordable Interest Mortgage. Once again, Kurt's number is 720-895-0500. And if you've got any mortgage questions, we'll take your call, 303-477-5600. All right, Kurt, as I mentioned, boy, mortgage companies advertise a lot, and you'll see things in the paper or TV, radio, whatever, and they'll go, you know, 1.99 or 2.2 or 2.3, whatever. But then you call a customer and they go, oh, well, you can't get that. And they go, why? So what are all the factors that go into all that?
Well, let's go to those advertised rates. The people will say, well, how can they advertise them if they're not real? Well, they are real. But you got to make sure that if they're on the screen, freeze the screen, read the fine print.
You can't. It's too small.
I understand it. Yeah. I have a big TV. I have to get up and walk really close to make sure that what they're disclosing. There are certain factors that come into play that it has to meet this nice little hole that you fit through. But what changes? Let's say you and I have the same score. Why can't we get the same rate when we're buying a property? Well, there's several things. Lenders determine the interest rate that they're going to offer you by the risk involved into you and the property you're buying. Everything that a lender does is because of past performance of risk on that type of property. So for the first thing, it's going to be loan to value. The higher the loan to value, the higher the risk of foreclosure, the higher the rate or the cost. Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Jenny Mae. Those are the three basic.
Sounds like the Beverly Hillbillies.
Should be a singing group. But Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and Jenny Mae, what they determine is the guidelines on the rates. The federal government came out a couple years ago, and all loans are purchased by the federal government have to meet a thing called TRID. So if Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, or Jenny Mae wants to sell a loan, it has to meet these guidelines. And they all have the same, what's called LLPAs, loan level pricing adjustments. So the higher the risk, the higher the adjustment. First one is loan to value. If you're at 95%, yeah, you can get approved, but your rate's a little bit higher, the cost to do it.
Right.
If you're at 70% or 60 or 50, all of a sudden the risk is less. 30-year term has a higher rate than a 25 or a 20 or a 15 or not or 10 because of the term of it. Property type also has it. So now, remember at the beginning of the show, I talked about FICO score. The FICO score is going to give you this rate. All of these things will adjust, and as you adjust them, the FICO score makes them adjust even faster, meaning right. which if you have a 680 and you're buying a duplex, you're going to be required to pay a higher rate than somebody with a 740 buying that same duplex because your score is so much drastically different.
Mm-hmm.
So these are some of the things that come into play when you're talking about it. Like I said, the loan to value, the FICO score, the type of property, the type of loan. Are you doing a conventional loan? Are you doing an FHA? Are you doing a VA? VA is, again, it's a government loan, and they'll let you go to 100%. And they'll let you go all the way down to a 600 credit score, some lenders. And they'll give you the same rate as a 660 as they will as a 740 because it's VA. But that won't happen in conventional. That right. won't happen in FHA. On an FHA loan, if you put 50% down, you still have mortgage insurance for a minimum of 11 years. And you might need to do that because you had a bankruptcy within the last 2 years, but you still got a 700 score. The bankruptcy is not going to not let you have the score, but it's going to prevent you from getting other loans. So there's factors that come into play. Do you want cash out? And cash out to a lender is cash in hand at the close, anything in excess of $2,000, or paying off a second mortgage that was not taken out at the beginning. When you got your first mortgage, you get the second at that time. If not, if you took it out later, then the lender's going to classify if they're paying that off as cash out. Cash out has a risk. Why? Because more people that take cash out have a tendency to foreclose than those people that don't. It's just a history. might not be much, but that's where that LLPA cost comes into play. They're going to charge you a quarter of a point here or half a point there. If you go back about 6 months, there was a big stink back in October when the feds, Fannie and Freddie, decided they wanted to charge what they called an adjustment fee of a half a point across the board on all loans that are refinanced. Not on purchases, but on refinances. Mm-hmm. When rates were down like they are now, they wanted to make more money. Well, they came out with it like on a Monday, and they said it goes into effect next Monday. Well, that wasn't fair. They ended up kicking that back 30 days, but they just added a half a point cost to every loan since October. So on a $200,000 loan, there's an extra $1,000 that the lender's making, not the lender, but Fannie Mae's making, because of a fee that they wanted to charge because rates were so low. Loan level pricing adjustments.
Right.
Those things happen, and it doesn't matter what lender you go to. They're across the board. That's what you're going to get. So those are the things that can affect why you're not getting those rates that you see.
Right. So what's somebody going to get different? They walk into a Wells Fargo or come to affordable interest mortgage. What's the difference?
There's going to be limited product is the first thing that comes to mind. There's only so many products that Wells Fargo would do. And maybe that's all you're looking for. That'll work. Mm-hmm. If you're just a standard person to walk any brick and mortar, you're going to have to fit into their scenario, not just Fannie and Freddie guidelines, but what that particular bank has as guidelines or overlays to fit. Now, if you happen to walk in and you have a checking account or a savings account or several of them and you've got $100,000 with them, well, now all of a sudden you're going to get a better rate.
Right.
But it's in the majority of the time, it's still not going to compete with anything we do because all we deal with is lenders that loan for mortgages. They understand the risk more. They understand mm-hmm. the client better. And seldom have I ever had a brick and mortar have a rate better than what I can compete with.
Right. You know, and I've had some, you know, through the years, you know, that I've known you that have, you know, went and checked a couple of places like that and then came to you. And while some go smooth, some take work.
Some
and, man,
take work.
They found you did everything in the world to help them. And sometimes somebody just pushing a pin at a bank may
not be
that aggressive.
To be honest, they're going to get paid whether you do the loan or not.
Mm-hmm.
My job is to make sure that I get the loan, give you a fair price, treat you with respect, but I have to have product that fit you because not two people walking in have the same issues.
Right.
I actually have a guy now that has enough money in the bank that his $150,000 a year job, they can't qualify him because he can't get transcripts. But he's got enough money in the bank, he qualifies for the loan. You can't find that at a brick and mortar. There's situations that people live in, self-employed people live in. Mm-hmm. I have loans that I can do for self-employed people that a bank can't do. Why? Because those are my customers. I understand those folks because I'm self-employed. They make the money. The way they report it's different. I have lenders that understand that, and they'll do loans with them. So brick and mortars are very limited on what they do, and they normally want to tie you together with another bank account. They want all your business. And if you understand why, it makes sense for the bank. When you give a bank $10,000, they get to loan it out eight times. So they're loaning out $80,000 on paper, and they'll get 21%. Mm-hmm. So they can maybe charge you a little bit less because of that. But you're tied to that account. When not, they start changing things on you.
Right.
That never happens with me because my sole purpose is to find you the best rate with the lowest fees.
Yep.
That fits you, mm-hmm. not somebody else.
Absolutely. All right. Let's talk a little bit about refinancing. All right. And let's put it this way. When is it not worth refinancing?
If it takes you more than 24 months to recoup the cost of a refinance, I recommend not doing it.
That's
should never take.
Yeah.
If you're saving $100 a month and it costs you $3,500 for a refinance, that's not enough. It's not.
Right.
If you're saving $200 a month and it takes you 3 years to do it, no, it's still not. There are times to where it has to make financial sense. I also don't think it's sense to refinance your property if you're going to move in the next 6 months to two years. Again, you don't have time mm-hmm. to recoup the cost.
Right.
If you want to pay it down a little bit more, pay a little bit of extra money, you can do that. But and then to get a lower rate when that lower rate comes with MI. I've seen brokers have a customer get out of a 3.5% loan and put him in a 2.375% loan, but it has MI. And the payment, they get cash out here, but the payment is about the same, but you got MI.
Mm-hmm. Which is mortgage insurance.
Mortgage insurance. So when you factor in the payment, you're actually paying more than what you were paying before, but the MI is sucking it up. And you're thinking, well, I got 2.375. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, no, you got 3.625 because you got mortgage insurance on it, the actual cost to it. That's when I don't think it's advisable to do it. The numbers just don't fit.
Right. And that's what, you know, and when you stop and think about it, that's what it all comes down to, right?
Yeah, if the numbers don't fit, we're going to tell you, we really don't think this is a good deal.
Right.
The bank's going to have a hard time saying, we're saving you $47 a month and we're going to go ahead and do the loan. They're not going to go that way. It's not financially stable for you.
All right, let's talk about this. Does taking cash out to pay off debt make financial sense?
Yes and no. If you're paying off debt, let's say you've got $600 a month in debt. If you're not recouping at least $300 of that just by paying it off, I'd have to question it. Because the debt you have, if it's not maxed, there comes a fine line in here. If you have a $5,000 credit card and you got it maxed at $5,000, that it means you have no more limit. And the next thing means you miss a payment, which drives your score down. You need some room to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
So in those cases, because of home values up, because rates are down, yes, it's advisable. But in most cases, I would not say that unless you're saving 50% of whatever your total debt is.
Okay.
So if your total debt's $600, you need to be saving $300 a month if you're going to pay it off. And then again, that's a discipline thing. Don't go back and do it again.
And a lot of people do that, don't they?
The goal is to get healthy again financially, and those things can happen. Especially nowadays, unemployed, you're going to max out your card. You're going to go through those things.
Mm-hmm.
What's your history been? Sometimes that's very advisable to take cash out. I don't see that as – if you're looking to take cash out, let's say you have a $400,000 loan and you want to take out $10,000 to modify a bathroom, I got to tell you that's probably not a good idea to take cash out through me. I think the $10,000 to take care of the bathroom is a good deal. I think you can get a second mortgage a lot easier, and it costs you a whole lot less money and a lot faster, because you're not refinancing $410,000. You're just financing $10,000.
Gotcha.
Payments on it going to be about the same. You can pay it off quickly. You can get a principal and interest payment on it. You can get an interest only. But you can get the $10,000 and do what you need without touching the first.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think it's advisable to refinance. If you're paying more than 3.375, I think you should consider refinancing. With the rates where they are, you should look at them.
Right.
Because you're going to save a half to a point, and that can add up depending on the amount of the loan size. Those are important. If you're going to be in the property for more than 3 years, yeah, I think it's another opportunity. If you're looking at taking money out for different items, if you want to do investment, if you want to do home improvements, I think that refinancing then, depending on what you're going to do, especially on home improvements or investments, and we could talk about that later, that's a tremendous idea to do.
Right. So when Mike Hills, again, Real Atlas, joins us usually once a month, and we talk about investment properties, are most people pulling out cash from an existing home to go buy something else like this when they get involved with these investment properties?
Absolutely. I've done it. I mean, I'm borrowing money at a low percentage rate. I'm going to go out and buy an investment property, and the tenant's going to not only pay that mortgage, they're going to pay me back what I just borrowed. I'm technically getting 100% financing on an investment property.
Right.
I get to write off the taxes. I get the appreciation and the payoff that he's making. Even if I have a month or two or 3 months that are bad, I'm still doing really well on what
sure.
I got. So, yeah, we're seeing a lot of people do that now.
All right. Again, Kurt Rogers with us. It's Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. We'll be right back.
Hi, Jack Corrigan for Len Lyle Chevrolet. Len Lyle Chevrolet is open and safe. It's truck month, and they have the best deals of the year on all trucks and SUVs, like up to $10,000 off on half-ton Silverados. Or come check out the all-new Tahoes and Suburbans for 2021. Len Lyle has been there for 35 years, and low overhead really does mean low prices. Check them out on the web, LenLyleChevy.com. Go east and pay the least. Chevy. Find new roads.
David R. Cishon, certified estate planner and registered financial consultant, specializes in working with people who are planning for retirement and retired clients who want to preserve and grow their assets.
Education is the greatest equalizer is my theme. It's always been. More people know, the better their decisions are, the more comfortable they become. So when people come in, we take, some people say, an excessive amount of time learning about the client themselves, who they are. What are their feelings? I don't care how much assets they have. If their assets are important to them, that's critical to me.
Call now for your free consultation with David Cishon of Householder Group. 720-482-1917. That's 720-482-1917. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Householder Group Estate and Retirement Specialist, LLC, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
You have this box at home filled with random pieces of old jewelry, some of which you inherited from a family member and all of which you aren't using. You don't want to get rid of it because many of the pieces have sentimental value, but you don't really know how much they're worth. You don't even know which pieces are real. Bring that box, all of it, to Jesse and his team at Littleton Jewelry. They will take a look at everything for free. They'll let you know what's real and what's not, and they'll give you estimates. Then you decide what you want to do. Sell the pieces to Littleton Jewelry for a fair price. Sit down with Apri to start working on a new custom design created from the old pieces. Get appraisals from Jesse and his team on the more valuable items to protect them in case of theft. Whatever you decide, don't leave them just sitting in that box forever. Find out what you have. Set up a private appointment with Jesse and his team at Littleton Jewelry today. Custom jewelry for life.
Got a question for the station? Email info@CrawfordBroadcasting.com. Now back to Haystack Help Radio.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio and Your Money Matters. Kurt Rogers with us from Affordable Interest Mortgage. Kurt's number is 720-895-0500. Of course, always a free consult, and you can do that in person. Kurt, are you on the Zoom calls as well, if somebody'd rather do it that
way?
Oh,
I do a lot of Zoom calls.
Okay.
On the asset manager.
Sure.
The majority of time on that one, because of the way it is, I'll send out the spreadsheet with a Zoom, and we'll kind of go over it and let the customer put in the number, so they go, it really works that way? Yeah,
yeah.
Put in that number. Yeah, there it goes.
I know.
Yeah, so they get to see it. So, yeah.
All right.
One of my loan officers got stock in Zoom, and he just keeps smiling.
Absolutely. So in person, Zoom, whatever. Kurt, we'll be glad to help you. And again, that number is 720-895-0500. All right, now you just talked about, you know, taking out cash for home improvements. Is there any rule of thumb, like you had on some of the other things that you use, when is it smart to pull out money to do a home improvement?
I never think it's wise to take your cash out above 90%. Normally, I like to keep you around 80, but if you can go to 90, depending on what you want to do for home improvements. And the reason I say that is certain home improvements are going to give you dollar for dollar back. There's two advantages to it. If you put in a kitchen, you're going to collect 90 cents on the dollar. If you put in hardwood floors, you finish a basement. Funny thing, you put in a garage door, and it's 100%. What the garage door tell you, it adds that value back to the house. Same thing with paint. Simple stuff works. But some of these things that on the home improvement, you not only get the money back by the appreciation into the home, you also get to enjoy what you just did to that before you sell it. Now, some people have to do home improvements before they can sell. But in most cases, like in our house, we are enjoying, you know, after 5 years of studying, the home improvements we put in our house. So, yeah.
So, now, let's talk about back on investments, because, I mean, boy, that's a big thing right now in investment properties and all. So, let's talk about the loan process for that. Is it different than me coming to you and just wanting an original mortgage?
Well, there's a lot of ways of looking at it. Yes, the answer to it, to a degree, is yes. When you're buying an investment property, if you've never had one and you want to buy one, most people say, I won't qualify. understand when you go to buy an investment property, and let's say it's a $350,000 house, and let's say that payment is $2,000 a month, you're able to take the rent that's coming in of $2,500, take 75% of that, and count that against that $2,000 payment. So your income doesn't have to justify that rental, because the rental income justifies the income to make you qualify for that property. A lot of people don't understand that. The money coming in, you get to count as income. So it's not increasing your debt-to-income ratio. You do it. What you then have to look at is the down payment you have to come up with. And we were kind of talking about this on the break. Because home values have gone up so much, there are people with a tremendous amount of equity sitting in their home. And I think that's wonderful. And I'm not telling you to take it. But you have to look at, if I can borrow money in the twos, I'm not... the equity I have in my home is not getting me any rate of return. It's zero. If I own my house free and clear, that equity gets me nothing. But if I pull out $100, $150 to buy a rental, I may pay 3% for the rental property and 2% over here, but I'm getting the money back in from the renter. Like I said before, the renter is paying my money back that I just borrowed at 2.5%.
Right.
He's also paying my mortgage payment at 3.5%. So none of it's my money. He's paying my mortgage down every month, he or she, and the value of my property is going up. And if I take just the average over the last 50 years at 4.2% on a $400,000 property, I'm making $16,000 a year, not counting what's going that way, and still getting paid my money back for what I took out of my house. So, yeah, there's a lot of people that are touching their equity to go out and buy rental properties. Now, that doesn't mean you just buy anything that's available.
Yeah.
You need to be, and Mike will talk about this next week, you need to be focused. You need to understand the area and what the market's doing and pay attention and make sure it's done correct. I would hate to be a landlord now.
Oh my goodness.
I had rental properties, that's why I won't do it. I hire somebody to do it. I don't want to deal with what those landlords, Mike's had to deal with over the last week, with all the frozen problems that have been going on with these homes.
Right. Absolutely.
I get it. It's not something I'd want. I don't want that call.
Yep. I have no doubt. So now when we talk about loans for investment property, are we looking at, are there different tiers of different loan programs, or how does it work to find the right loan for the right investment property?
Most investment property, if you're going to buy it as an investment property, whether it's a single family, a townhome, a condo, or a multifamily, you have to put 20 to 25% down. And for a lot of people, that scares them away. I will explain to you how you can get around that. But there are programs out now, because if you look at the market, we have less than a 30-day supply of pre-existing homes right now. One of the reasons for that is the investors are buying homes like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And people will ask me why. Well, first of all, you have to understand, when they're buying an investment home, they're now buying it at 3 to 3.5%. So when rates go up to 5, because they will in the next 3 to 5 years, they're still paying 3 to 3.5%. So that payment is much lower than what it would be if they waited.
Right.
Even though the price was down, it's still much lower. That property, with rents even as high as they are now, if they come down, they're still okay, because they're saving $150 to $200 a month on the average home in a rent payment. So even if the payment comes down, they're still okay. Why? Because the rates are so low. So people are taking advantage of that. They're also taking advantage, I'll come back to, the tenants making the payments going down. The lenders are so, when the lenders do loans because they see opportunity to make money. So right now they've come out with some loans that can help investors try to buy property. There's actually a program out that I have several customers that are doing right now, is if you find a rental property and the rent payment that you're collecting is $2,400 and the mortgage payment is $2,400, they will approve the loan as long as you have a 680. No income, no job, you're good. 680. As long as the rent payment exceeds the mortgage payment or is equal to, you're approved.
Wow.
That's amazing. I got investors coming out of the woodwork say, well, I got to have a couple of those, because they understand cash flow. They understand the benefit of the 4.2%. they're jumping all over it. And most of them, they're getting $2,400 where the mortgage payment's $2,000. So it's cash flowing even more. That loan is available. As long as you have a credit score of 680 and you put 25% down, you're good. So yeah. That's the ones that people are pulling money out of to go buy.
Sure.
The second one is bank statements. You can have 12 months business, 12 months personal, credit score of 660. And they're going to – you got a percentage. You got to have no more than a 50% debt-to-income ratio off your bank statements. What they do is they add up all your bank statements for 12 or 24 months, divide by 12 or 24. That's your income. You can take personal, you can take business. Can't take them both, one or the other. Hmm. That's your income. As long as that's not over 50% with all your debt and you got a 660 or above, you can get a loan on a rental property. Now, I mentioned earlier about ways to buy investment properties without a lot of money down. And Mike talks about this. If you want to buy a rental property and have a roommate, you can buy one with as little as 3% down, 3 to 3.5% down. That's how Mike got started. It's called house hacking. He'll go over it very much in depth next week. It's a way to get started. It's a way that parents are helping their kids go out and buy a property. As long as the child lives in it, and they rent out a room. I have a pastor. His son went out and bought a house. Dad co-signed for him, got him into the house. He's renting out two rooms. He's making $1,400 on the two rooms. The house payment's $2,000. So he's got the rental money coming in. He's going to, in turn, leave that house in about a year and go do it again. He's living in a $400,000 house. Mm-hmm. It's called house hacking. All he had to do was put 3.5% down. Now, if you want to put 10% down, you can buy a multiplex, a twoplex or a fourplex. $400,000, let's go to $500,000 on a multiplex, you're going to put $50,000 down. And it's a four-unit property, making $800 a unit. It's going to bring in $3,200. Right. The house payment on that's $23. And you put 10% down, and you live in one side of it. That's pretty inexpensive.
Absolutely. Now, so is the difference in the down payment, if you're buying it just for investment, you're not going to live in it, versus if you are going to live in it, is that where you're going to end up paying more?
You have to live, if you're buying a property with less money down, you have to live in that property for a year to year and a half.
Okay.
And at that time, you can go out. And Mike, again, we'll talk about it, but that's how he built up what he's done. It was one at a time over a period of time.
Right.
Works well.
Right. All right. Now, what happens if home value just go down? I think people are afraid, am I losing money if home values go down?
Unlike, and I'm not picking on the stock market, unlike the stock market, when we had the hit in 2008 and property values went down, the stock market crashed. When I lost my money, I couldn't get it back. I couldn't sit on it and wait for it to come back.
Mm-hmm.
It took a lot longer. In the housing market, when it went down, I'm still collecting rent. If I have rental property. So how did I lose anything? Just because the value is less, I haven't sold it, so I didn't take that hit. Now, if I had to take the hit, yes, it's going to hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
But if I don't have to take the hit, I might have to lower my rent a couple $100, but I still got money coming in. They're still paying my mortgage off.
Sure.
And if you turn around and look from 08 to 2021, the average, I tell you, is 4.2. The average in that 13-year span is in excess of 9.5.
Wow.
Just in that 12-year period of time. They've gone up 9.5% per year for the last 12 years. So I can't get that kind of out of the stock market, but I can't, and I didn't lose any money when I had the rental property.
Right.
So the value is only on paper until I sell it. Like my stocks, I've made the loss only if I sell it. If I don't, I'm going to get some of it back.
Sure.
So property value is going down, no. It's not going to hurt you, again, as long as it's cash flowing.
Yeah. Kurt Rogers is our guest. Affordable Interest Mortgage is the company. 720-895-0500. Is your vision stopping you from enjoying your outdoor activities? Hi, this is Scott Watley for Stack Optical. Get by Stack Optical today and check out the Stack Sports Pack.
One great frame where you can easily interchange the lenses to the tint you need for golf, bike riding, shooting, fishing, and yes, even driving. Stack Optical, family owned and operated, they're fully staffed and ready to help you with all of your optical needs, from eye exams, glasses, contacts, and yes, even repairs. And rest assured, Stack Optical has taken every precaution to ensure your safety and that you have a clean environment. 2233 South Monaco Parkway, 303-321-1578. Call them now. 303-321-1578, stackoptical.com. And remember, at Stack Optical, you'll see the difference.
Take it from KLZ's personal injury attorney. Distracted driving isn't worth the risk. Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law has nearly 25 years of experience helping juries understand the true impact of an injury. He knows how to paint the picture in a juror's mind, equipping them to empathize with his client. Take the woman who recently spent 10 months in the hospital, unable to see her family the entire time. The value of her case goes way beyond hospital bills because she will never get back that precious time with her grandchildren. You know the statistics. Driving 60 miles an hour, you travel 88 feet per second. It takes you a second and a half to react, which means you've gone about 40 yards, almost half a football field, before you could even start to respond. Then you factor in how quickly your vehicle can stop. Kevin Flesh does his job well, but no amount of money can recover 100% of what you lose. So put your phone away and drive.
Did you know that the dental health of your pet is extremely important? Your pet can also get periodontal disease, and it's one of the most common clinical conditions seen by the veterinarians at Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center. This may come as a surprise, but most adult dogs and cats show some signs of the disease by the time they reach 3 years of age. If left untreated, pet dental disease can also lead to pain, tooth loss, infection, and even damage to the vital organs such as heart, liver, and kidneys. Your pet's dental health is important to Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center. In recognition of National Pet Dental Health Month, which is observed every February, we're placing the spotlight on periodontal disease and what pet owners can do to prevent and treat this serious condition. Call now to schedule your pet's cleaning, 303-708-8050. That's 303-708-8050. You can also visit LoneTreeVet.com.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio in a special edition we call Your Money Matter. If you're just joining us, my name is Scott Watley, here with Kurt Rogers, owner of Affordable Interest Mortgage. And once again, Kurt's number, 720-895-0500. So, Kurt, let's talk about inventory a little bit with houses and all. And, you know, seems like there is a lack of it.
For the first time in a long time, there's less than a 30-day supply. And of the pre-existing homes, there's a large portion of them that haven't been upgraded, so people are going, no. So what that's caused is a 25 to 30% increase in new builds. So people are going out being able to, you know, they have to do yards and stuff, but the house is nice. The house is the way they want it. So you're seeing a lot of new builds going on.
Right.
So, and that's going to continue for the next 12 to 24 months. So I don't see things slowing down here. What we got to remember, there's a lot of people that are moving in from out of state, from the West Coast, that come in here and see a $700,000 house as a deal and write a check.
Mm-hmm.
Where we didn't see it that way. Yeah. So that's what's causing the market to be so drained of homes.
Sure. Now, just thinking about this for a new build, is that process different? And loans for, you know, you go out and you buy land and then you're just now starting to build a house?
If you're going to build one yourself,
yeah.
I recommend always buy the land first. Because if you buy the land and do the house at the same time, you'll get a loan for 80% of both. If you buy the land, own it for a day, then put the house, I'm going to put the house on it. Let's say the house is $500,000 to build and the land's $100,000. That's $700,000 or $600,000. You get 80%. But the minute you own the land and then say, I'm going to build the house on it, they give you the future value of the land and the house together. And that might be eight. So now you get to borrow more money. They tie the two together if you both do them together. But the minute you separate
them. Own it for a day.
One day is all it takes. So it's another technique if you're going to have a house built of way to do that. And there's people to give you the land loan. And then you go out and get the construction, the perm loan.
Gotcha.
I have several customers that have done that over the years.
Huh. All right. Good to know. Now, when someone is shopping for a new build home, why should they use a realtor?
They're free. The realtor costs you nothing and is on your side, number one. The seller, the builder, is paying the realtor. They can't raise their price up to pay the builder. So when they have a price of, let's say, $600,000, $700,000 for this house, the realtor can come in. They can't raise it to pay that realtor. That realtor is free, number one. Two, you get an experience with negotiating and understanding the pitfalls in some of the contract. The contract on a new build house is not the same contract when you do a purchase. They're built to protect the builder, not you. And the realtor can find that and can help you walk through that process. They can't turn them away, and they have to pay them. So you've got a realtor with experience on how to negotiate and work things. So I strongly recommend if you're going to go out and buy a home, I'm not a realtor. Get a realtor.
Sure.
They're well worth it.
Right. Now, it seems like sometimes that builders will offer special financing incentives.
Always, don't they?
Yeah. So still give Affordable Interest Mortgage a call and see what's going on, right?
Well, the first thing that you got to think about is, why are they trying to get into financing business? Why do they want to give up $7,500 or $10,000 or $15,000 to use their financing? There's a why in here. Why are they doing that? Does that mean, like car dealers, when they add over sticker, that it's just an inflated price, we're going to take it off when we advertise it? It's monopoly money, right, in my opinion. Sometimes it's just not real. So when they're doing that, builders are builders. They're not finance people. The main reason, and I think it's a sustainable reason, why they want you to go through their financing is they're going to tie up the cost of a $600,000 house. They want to make sure you qualify. So apply with them, because most of them will require you to get approved from them or they're not going to build the house. They don't want to be in the hook for it. When you put money down on a new build, that money's non-refundable once they start, because it's got to pay for that. So they want to make sure that you can get the loan. But the incentive that they give you, from what I've seen in the past, over 95% of the time, I've always been able to do better than what they have and still save the same kind of money. Because all they're in my opinion, they're just robbing Peter to pay Paul. They're just moving it. It's a shell game.
Sure.
Now, and I'm not saying all builders. Right. I'm just saying, but if you shop, if you look, you'll normally find a better deal from a broker, not a bank, because a bank can't negotiate. It's a bank. They only have certain loans. From a broker, because I get to shop you. I get to find that lender that wants this business and work for you. We can always, I won't say always, because the majority of the time, I will always have a better rate, better program, and be looking out more for you than them.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's no
it's
doubt.
Nothing and against builders.
You've proven it over the years, man.
Their job is to build the house. How do they uphold and stay with all the changing regulations and all of that if they're a builder? Did they hire this department? What lender is going to work for a builder and get that kind of business without paying some kind of fee? I'm not saying they are, but it's why. Why is all of a sudden are they wanting to get into this? Main reason is to make sure that you're going to be approved for the home.
Right. Last few minutes here, but boy, when you look back and you say, hey, from 10 years ago to today, what's different now kind of in the whole mortgage world, the way you do business, than it was just 10 years ago?
A lot more of it's electronic.
Yeah.
Lot more regulations. And many of the regulations that have come out over the last 10, 12 years have actually been pretty good. Some of them are pushing people out of the business to where they can't buy a home. But on the whole, everything has kind of moved forward. We are in a better housing market. In the last 12 years, we went from a 60.1% home ownership to over 69% now. Now, that's the number. You want it to be at 68 to 69% of the population own a home. That's good for the economy. That's stable. And a lot of that comes into how they've set up the regulations and done things. Sometimes it's hurt. They've altered the business to protect the consumer a whole lot more. They really have. There's still areas that they're working on, but they've done a pretty good job on that.
Right. Let's take our last couple of minutes to kind of talk about the asset manager. I mean, great
loan. My
favorite loan. And, boy, it's just – it's awesome. But it is hard, and that's when you said on the Zoom call – you got to give people a spreadsheet almost to show them examples, don't you? Because it's hard for people to grasp.
They don't. A lot of people don't understand a simple interest loan versus some of the loans that are out there on 30-year fixed. They're not compound, but the way they're adding up the interest. The average mortgage on a 30-year fixed, you're going to pay back 60 to 65 cents of every dollar you pay is going to interest. That means on a $400,000 loan, you're going to pay back about $240,000, $280,000 in interest. That's not how a simple interest loan works. Simple interest loan means as your payoff goes down, your payment goes down. If you continue to make the same payment you would on that 30, mm-hmm. you'll pay off the home in 12 years and 6 months. You didn't pay extra. Because you paid, it's simple interest, the bank makes less interest.
Right.
And you own the home faster. That's your money. That $280,000 is yours. If you can cut that to $140,000, that's $140,000 that your money goes in your pocket. And you get to keep it. And you're not stealing. The banks love the idea. Mm-hmm. And people say, well, why would a bank do that? Because since 1999 till today, the simplest answer I got, they've had one foreclosure. Remember at the beginning of the show, I talked about risk.
Yeah.
They do everything for risk. Well, there's no risk in this loan because you're not going to give it back. The bank knows they're going to get their money. They're going to loan it out at 8 times when you give them money.
Mm-hmm.
There's no foreclosure. They've got no expense. They like these loans. That's why they're one of the fastest loans I've got. Almost half my business is this loan.
Yeah.
Because of what it does and how much money it saves the consumer.
Now, can anyone get that at any price range, or does a house property have to be a certain amount?
I have a couple customers that at 1.5 are getting the same rate as you would get at $150,000.
Really?
Yeah, they don't change. There's no such thing as jumbo. There's no such thing as MI. They don't have them. They'll go up to 90%. There's just... They do investment properties, they do second homes, and they do primaries. You can have two of these loans. So if you want a second home or an investment and a primary, you can do that.
Right.
And they're all simple interest. They also do something that helped me still be in business. I call it being mortgage safe. Because in 2008 to 2010, I had this loan, and I wasn't quite making what I needed to do to make my mortgage payment. I didn't have to. Because I'm able to tap my equity when I need it without reapplying. I don't need to go get a cash-out loan. I've already got it. It's built in for 30 years. Should I need money for an emergency, I just write the check.
Right.
And 08 to 10 allowed me to pay myself from my house when my business couldn't, so I could stay in business. My neighbor went through the same thing, had the same loan.
It is worth a call to Kurt to let him review that with you. I promise you that. Again, the number is 720-895-0500. And your disclosure, sir.
7400 East Arapahoe Road, Suite 109, Centennial, Colorado. We are regulated by the Division of Real Estate, NMLS 298191, and we are an equal credit lender.
Kurt, appreciate it.
Thanks much.
Always fun.
Bye.
Kurt Rogers, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Hope you have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you tomorrow at noon.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.